Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today. We always look forward to your dialogue and discussion, joining in the issue of the day. And so, therefore, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917. 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion. As we speak today, we're talking about a statement that Jesus made to Nicodemus. He said, "Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again." So the question today, what is biblical salvation? What does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be born again? That's what we'll be talking about. Invite your conversation, your dialogue and discussion. Perhaps you've got a question about whether or not you're saved. Perhaps you have a question about how you get saved. Perhaps you have a question in relationship to what some believe, some have taught, and some around you, perhaps in your family, of what they're thinking or saying and believing that they are saved. We want to talk about that today. And what I'm calling today, removing some of the smoke screen, clarifying for our understanding what the Bible says about biblical salvation. The number is 831-0917. And as we face the issues today and each and every day, let me remind you we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not a matter of what I think or say. And on the subject in particular today about biblical salvation, it's not a matter of what Baptists say or believe. I've said many times I could care less what Baptists say or believe, or Presbyterian, or Methodist, or any other denomination. It's what does the Bible say. It's what I call having a central biblicist worldview. A central biblicist worldview. It doesn't make any difference to me what the so-called founding fathers said or believe. The confessions and the edicts, the synods, and the things of that nature. They may have a nuance of an element of truth, but I'd rather just simply go back to the fundamental of what the Word of God say. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and it's the truth that makes you free." I added to that. It is the truth book, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, I commend it to you. I suggest that we look at the Word of God as the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our pathway, that we'll know what God will have us to do each and every day. Multitudes today are wandering in darkness because they have avoided the light of the truth of the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." And then he makes a declaratory statement in John 17:17, where Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, in particular with the subject that we're dealing with today, we ought to go back to the truth of the Word of God and not what some ism, a schism, or some dialectic dialogue might say, but what does the Scripture say in relationship to being saved? It was the one that wrote the book in 19, I believe it was in the 40s, and he projected 1984 would be in his dystopian fiction novel. 1984 was the title. George Orwell, the secularist, said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we find that today. This is the reason I admonish you each and every day on this broadcast, that we need to recall the words of Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer. Jan Hus said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And may I commend that to you today, is seek the truth. And the truth book is none other than the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's called the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, as the little song used to be in children's church and in vacation Bible school and Sunday school, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line brands like Honda and Echo for the homeowner. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about power backup equipment, as well as the professional and the homeowner brand lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's a good benchmark. Find the gigantic flag, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flowing 24/7. At the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I have with me today on this broadcast, Pastor Glenn Davis. Pastor Davis hails from the gigantic city up in Folkestone.
The big city.
The big city.
Big lights, big city. Amen. We just thank God, amen, for being here on today. And Dr. Youngblood, let me say at this time, good morning, amen, to my family and friends, amen. I have, amen, my only daughter, amen, my brand new son-in-law,
amen.
Amen, tuned in this morning, amen, as well as two big sisters and many other friends back in Folkestone. If I try to call all of you out, I might miss a name, but I just want to let you know I'm thankful, amen, for you tuning in and listening.
You said a new son-in-law. Your daughter just got married.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
So I have to call him brand new. It's actually been close to a year. Now, you know, since they did it because the pandemic was out there last year.
Right.
We could not do a proper ceremony, but they still went ahead and committed, amen, first their lives to Christ. Mm-hmm. And I thank God for that.
Amen.
Amen. And then, amen, they were joined together in holy matrimony.
That's good.
So I thank and praise God for you on today.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
By the way, you mentioned that holy matrimony. That is a wonderful term. Most ignore that. It is marriage is holy matrimony.
Amen.
Because God gave it that term.
Amen.
It's not something that is civil. It's not something that is governmental. It's not something that the government has any authority to change, as they have just done in voting in the House with that sodomite equality act, as they call it.
Amen.
Which is absolutely destroying the truth of the Word of God about holy matrimony.
Amen.
So I'm thankful that you mentioned that.
And I also have, amen, Dr. Davis, amen, my niece listening today, amen, at Donnell Cookman High School right here in Jacksonville.
Very
amen.
Good.
I thank God for her on today. Amen. I encourage each and every one of you on today. Amen. Tune in. Listen carefully. If you have to, go get you a pencil and a notepad. Take some notes. Amen. Because you're going to need this word on
I
today.
I say that absolutely.
Amen.
Unless
amen.
You're driving, take some notes. That's
amen.
Good.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about you must be born again. What is biblical salvation? There are multitudes today that are working hard. Pastor Davis, there are multitudes that are working and working, working their legs down to the knees, working their working till the hands are worn off to the elbows. And I see a lot of people going to work until they have no legs and still die and go to hell. And because working and trying to earn salvation will not do it. There's some that seek satisfaction by doing good works, giving to the needy, helping others, and joining the church and being a good worker. And some way, somehow, thinking they can earn salvation. I want our listeners to understand salvation, as I use the term, salvation, God thought it, salvation, the Holy Spirit wrought it, salvation, Jesus Christ bought it.
Amen.
With the rich red royal blood on Calvary's cross.
And Dr. Youngblood, I heard another preacher say, the devil fought it.
That's right, the devil fought it.
God wrought it, but Jesus wrought it.
That's
amen.
Right. I must,
we thank
absolutely.
God, amen.
That's
yes.
a good term. So what does it mean to be saved, to be born again? What is salvation? According to the Bible, what is salvation? Just how can a person be born again? God's word, I believe, is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen. God's word is clear. An individual cannot go to heaven unless and until he is blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again.
Amen.
Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And the third chapter of the Gospel of John. And so when discussing biblical salvation, we need to understand that many people will make the plan of salvation sound complex. They try to make the plan of salvation sound difficult. And yet, on the other hand, Pastor, a lot of people make the plan of salvation so simple that all you got to do is walk down the aisle, sign the dotted line, and zingo, you're going to heaven.
Amen.
And that's simply not what the Bible teaches, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, we've made easy believism where a person can just say, well, I believe. In fact, Pastor, there's some bumper stickers out there that says, I believe. What do they believe?
Amen.
A lot of people think somehow if you say, well, I believe, that's all it takes. But ladies and gentlemen, believe in what? You can't just say, I believe in the church. In fact, in Roman Catholicism today, salvation is assured if you pray through Mary to God through Jesus Christ, or if you have a right relationship with the church, and if you've taken on Holy Communion, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They make it totally complicated and not according to the Word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of folks that are good people. Now, we'll forget an evangelist back in the 60s. He used the term, he said, a lot of good people are going to die and go to hell. And there are a lot of good people listening to my voice today, Pastor, that's going to die go to a devil's hell. They may be good as a family man, may be good as a father, may be good as a husband. They may be good in the work. They may be good in their care and their wanting to help others. They may be good in every aspect, but being good does not save a person.
Pretty good ain't good enough.
Pretty good ain't good enough. That's right. It needs to be based on the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. I never will forget, and I'll share this with our listeners, never will forget many years ago, I had a man that I was dealing with, and his name was, he was a captain in the Army, and I was driving around with him, and we were looking at different properties. That was back in the early 60s, and his name was Ramon. And during the course of my conversation with him for several hours in the car, I said, have you been saved? And he said, yes, sir, I've been saved several times. And I said, tell me about it. He said, well, back when I was on duty in Vietnam, he said, I was flying the helicopter, and all of a sudden a mortar hit the copter, and I was going down, and on my way down, I said, Lord, save me. And he said, here I am. And I thought to myself, what else can you tell me? And he gave me several. He said, in the foxhole, and all of a sudden some mortar was firing around him. And he said, Lord, save me. And he said, I'm still here. So I was saved. So the bottom line is a lot of people have a lot of consternation and a lot of confusion about biblical salvation. He said, on those two or three occasions, he said, all of these things took place and I didn't die. So I'm saved. So why do we need to be saved? We're talking about biblical salvation, not deliverance from mortar shells, but being biblically saved. So what is biblical salvation? And may I say to all of our listeners today, without biblical salvation, man cannot go to heaven. Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And then that was in the third verse. And then in verse 5, it says, without the being saved, you cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So you can't see it, you can't enter it, unless you've said yes to Jesus Christ. I believe we have Joseph on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. My salvation experience was a gradual thing over the years. But I had an experience with God where I just really sensed his love for me. I had initial enthusiasm, desire to tell others. I was a very sensitive conscience, gradually developing the fruit of the Spirit. And then, you know, there's those nine fruit of the Spirits. But love is real central, which it's defined, I believe, in 1 Corinthians 13. And I had a desire for the Word of God, desire to read and study the Bible. So just off the top of my head, that's some of the experiences I had in salvation.
Brother Joseph, let me ask you a question. I'm thankful to hear that. That's some of the growth and development and after we've said yes to Jesus as Savior. And you don't have to, and I tell people, you don't have to know an exact date and time and place. I share my personal testimony. I was saved April the 15th, 1958, in my living room at home at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I knelt at the couch, and I said, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and save me. Biblical salvation is an act of obedience to the still small voice wooing and calling. And it's only when we've said yes to him, verbally confessing our sins, repenting of our sins, turning from our wicked way, and inviting him to come into our heart and save us. That's biblical salvation in a nutshell. So can you recall a date, time, place without necessarily having to be specific with the day and the hour? Do you know that a transaction took place in your heart and your life where you invited personally, you invited Christ to come in and save you?
Yes, I do. I had been following Billy Graham in the late 60s and 70s, and I had been putting off salvation because I thought to be a Christian, you'd have to live a boring life. And then one night, Billy Graham talked about, you know, if you keep pushing God away, you keep stiff-arming God, this may be the last time he draws you. And it kind of put the fear of God in me. And I was in my sister's bedroom at our house. And I remember I said, okay, I'm going to do this. And I don't think I can live the life. Of course, I didn't know at the time, nobody can live it. You have to trust
God. That's
right. But I gave the initial consent and said the prayer and started reading and seeking God as best I can.
Amen. Well, brother, I'm thankful to hear that. That's a blessing to hear. And one of the great, great joys for any Christian is to say yes to Christ and then invest the balance of our lives following his will, his directions, that we might be empty vessels filled with the Holy Spirit, that he might wield us, use us, and make us fit for the master's use.
Amen.
So,
amen.
Brother, thank you so much for that testimony. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the subject today, biblical salvation. Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. In fact, the Pastor Davis is with me today. And so, Pastor, God's plan of salvation is very, very clear in the scripture. You must be born again. In fact, in Acts chapter 16, verse 30, the Philippian jailer asked Paul, sirs, what must I do to be saved?
Amen.
That's the greatest question.
Good
I
question.
Believe first can
Amen.
Ask, is what can I do to be saved? And there are a lot of folks today, ladies and gentlemen, that Holy Spirit of God is wooing. In fact, the Holy Spirit of God is drawing all men unto himself. But unfortunately, all men will not be saved. We'll talk about that during the course of this broadcast. But, Pastor, one of the first things that I believe is necessary, and I believe that we need to do what I call a trickle-down, the inverted pyramid, the larger, and then flow to the smaller point of what salvation is. But first of all, I believe we need to look at the condition of man. We need to realize the condition of man. What is the condition of man? The Scripture is very clear that we're sinners. Pastor, do you have handy there Romans chapter 5 and verse 12? Romans 5:12. Read that to us, and we're going to talk about that a minute. Romans 5:12, and then after we read Romans 5:12, we'll go back to Romans 5:8 and look at that. We'll tie the loose ends together.
Amen. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
All have sinned.
All. Amen. Amen.
Somehow, some way, ladies and gentlemen, there's the thought that crosses the heart and in the mind of men, mankind. I'm a pretty good person. I go to church. I'm a church member. I tithe. I've been baptized. I must be all right. All of those things are works. And the Scripture says we're not saved by works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
Ephesians
Amen.
2, 8, 9, and 10. So we need to understand, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, we are all sinners. It goes back to Genesis, the third chapter, verses 1 through 7 in particular, where Adam and Eve in the garden, God had said, given instructions on what they could and could not do. They disobeyed, and as a result of that sin, as a result of that disobedience, death passed upon all men. Now listen, everyone under the sound of my voice, including this speaker, we're all one day going to die. There will be the cessation of life. So we're talking about death, but we're talking about two deaths. Some have used the term, Pastor, that if you have two births, you have one death. If you have one birth, you have two deaths. If we're born twice, we'll die once. That is the physical death and not the spiritual. But we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I, every one of us, everyone on the sound of my voice, we're sinners.
Amen.
We're sinners. And sin, as a result of sin, Pastor, read Romans 5:8. Amen. In that same unit of thought.
Amen. That eighth verse says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now that speaks in loud volumes,
yes,
right there, Dr. Youngblood, because yes, that's really telling us, even when we were enemies with God,
yes,
when we were club hopping, mm-hmm, jumping the ditch, mm-hmm, skipping down the road, going about our own way of life and doing what we wanted to do, we were yet sinners.
Yes.
Christ died for us even then. So there wasn't anything good that we did to deserve to be where we are now in Christ Jesus. I tell people all the time, I don't care how good you think you are. Yeah, you might be going to work, taking care of your own business. You might try to help people. You might try to do the best you can. And I'm talking about people who are unregenerate outside of Christ Jesus. They can always tell you good things that they're doing.
That's right.
But my message to you is that you still need a Savior.
Amen.
So no matter what good you have done, your works are just going to be burned up.
That's right.
Because when we stand before him, God said, no flesh is going to be able to glory or boast in his sight.
That's right.
Amen. So we have to know and understand, good works are not going to get us there.
All
Amen.
Of our good works are as filthy rags,
Amen,
the scripture tells us.
Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, the first thing that we need to understand in talking about biblical salvation and looking at the command that Jesus gave to Nicodemus, and it was in the imperative voice in the Greek text. And so ye must, it's imperative, ye must be born again, was the command that he gave to Nicodemus. But we need to understand that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We need to understand that without Christ, we're walking dead men.
Amen.
Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. It's a very important imperative unit of thought in Ephesians. We'll look at that in a moment. But the scripture is very clear in Romans chapter 6, Pastor, and in verse 23, where the scripture says in Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
So the wages, all of us work for wages.
Mm-hmm.
You get a paycheck based on what you've done. And the scripture says the wage is the paycheck for sin. And sin is the word harmateia. It is missing the mark. It is doing that which is contrary to the will of God, the word of God, or the way of God in our lives. That's sin. We have missed the mark. And the wages of that sin is death. And in that verse, and we'll talk about it further in a moment, but it's a contrast, but the gift of God, free gift, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
Pastor, I think that we've set the stage. And there are a lot of other verses we can go to if we're dealing with a full study on this and a series of messages or lessons. But I believe it sets the stage that the condition of man must be realized. And that condition is that we're lost and on our way to a devil's hell.
Amen.
Without Jesus Christ. And by the way, I touched on that a moment ago, Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. And I want to read that for our listeners because it sets the stage for a lot of other things that we'll talk about. In Ephesians 1 and 2, the scripture says, Ephesians 2, chapter 1 and 2, and you hath he quickened, that means to make alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according kata, based upon the spirit of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
Amen.
There are a lot of people, Pastor Davis, that misunderstand that. There are a lot of people today that say, we'll use the term, that a dead man can't say yes to Jesus. A dead man has to have somebody to do it for him. And thus there's a whole theological diatribe out there that says that because man is dead in trespasses and sin, that he cannot say yes to Jesus, that God has to save him, and then after God saves him, without his knowledge, without his volition, without his will, without his doing anything, that God saves him, then as a result of God saving him, it's called predestination. As a result of God saving him, then he starts wanting to do good works. Then he starts having a passion for good things. Then he starts wanting to please God. Then he starts reading the scripture. Then he wants to go to church, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not what that text is saying.
Amen. Amen.
Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus. He's talking to believers, those that have already placed their faith and trust in Christ, and he tells them what their life was like prior to saying yes to Jesus, that they were dead in trespasses and sins. He didn't say you were dead physically, you were dead emotionally, you were dead volitionally, you were brain dead. That's not what the scripture says.
Amen.
They were dead spiritually. There was no life in them spiritually. And a dead man, as we're told by a theological group today, a dead man can't say yes to Jesus. That wasn't what Paul is saying at all. We need to understand that the key to biblical interpretation is looking at a text in the context. A text outside of a context is a pretext and should never be used for a text. And so I just wanted to set the stage there, Pastor, that we are talking about being saved, and it is something that needs to be done because our condition is lostness. But Jesus gave a command in John 3, verse 7, to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. He says it's imperative. It's a command. You can't be saved by osmosis. You can't be saved by doing good works. You can't be saved by being a Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Jesus told Nicodemus that he must experience two births. I want to read that for us, Pastor, and then we want to talk about that for a few minutes.
Amen.
Because John 3, verses 1 and following. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Jesus says to Nicodemus in verse 3 and following, I'm going to read a few verses and we'll talk about it, Pastor.
Amen.
Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is, listen, verse 6 explains, verse 6 is the commentary on verse 5. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's water birth. Any mother can tell you when the water breaks, the baby's coming.
Amen.
It is talking about the physical, natural birth. There must be two births, Jesus said. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit of God, is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again.
Amen.
And then Jesus gives the illustration in verse 8. You can see the results of wind, W-I-N-D, but you can't see wind. Salvation, you can't see it, but you can see the results of it.
Amen.
When a person says yes to Jesus Christ, the old man is changed. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And that's the way we know if a person is saved, is based on what they're doing, not based on their good deeds and their good works. But after salvation, it is the works, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But Jesus says to Nicodemus, you've got to have the physical birth, you've got to have the spiritual birth. Being born of water, that's spiritual. Being born of the Spirit, that's spiritual birth. And in verse 6, he says, and I'll read it again, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say, ye must be born again.
Amen.
And ladies and gentlemen and Pastor, people need to understand, our listeners need to understand, that this is in the imperative voice in the Greek text, it is a command that Jesus is giving to Nicodemus. But he's not going to make Nicodemus get saved.
Amen.
He is not going to say that he's saying that this is required if you go to heaven. Because you see the introductory verses of the text, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He's coming seeking, and he's seeking Jesus, and he's seeking Jesus at night. Because being a Pharisee, he's in a position of power and prestige and prominence. He didn't want others to see him with lowly Jesus. But Jesus confronts him and says that you must be born again.
Amen.
And that's the challenge today, ladies and gentlemen. You must be born again. Jesus commands this, which means Nicodemus had a choice. He wouldn't have commanded him, Pastor, if he didn't have a choice.
Amen.
There's some people that say that man can do nothing. God's done it all. There's a choice, a volitional choice. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back right after the top of the hour news as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.